Yeah, every time I speak in an adult service, somebody afterwards says, wow, that was quick. Like, we're out early. I get to go to lunch. And of course, teenagers never complain about quick. 5 minutes, we're good. But I want to make sure you understand this, though. See, I say as much as anybody else. I mean, you can listen to a guy preach for an hour and a half, and I say as much as he does. I just say it faster, okay? That's my way. The reason is, and I discovered this a while back, I listen to messages all the time. It's kind of a hobby of mine. I like to just listen to other preachers. But I listen to them on podcasts, and I always listen at least times two speed. Like, you can do it in fast forward, and sometimes three. And so I'm used to it being that way, and so that's the way it comes out. So I will try to slow down a little bit for you. This morning, we'll just see what happens. So I was really thinking about what I should talk about. I love every time I get a chance to speak. And last week, the pastor preached about having faith that goes the distance. And so I wanted to just keep talking about faith this morning. So if you like to take notes or you do that, we're going to talk about faith for more. Faith for more. Do you like more? I think most of us do, especially if it's dessert, okay? More cheesecake, right? More ice cream, more is good. And I like more, and I'm not really the dessert person. I'm more of like a French fry person, okay? It doesn't matter. Homemade fries, all my favorite. There's never enough. Like, it doesn't matter. She can cook like 12 potatoes, and I will, every time, I can eat every single one. McDonald's are my favorite, though, you know, McDonald's fries. I don't know what they put on them. Salt, cocaine, something. It's they're good. And that's all I get there. I don't buy anything else. I go through the drive-thru, can have some fries, and I'll eat every single one, and I go, I wanted more. Then you get that bonus fry in the bottom of the bag. It's like, more. But you like more. We all like more. I have a 3-year-old, and she likes more, especially when it comes to chocolate or candy. Anybody like M&Ms? Not as much as my daughter, Emery. Okay. Sometimes I like to give her a treat, and I'll say, Emery, I got you some M&Ms, okay? And she says the same thing. I want more, right? It doesn't matter how many I offer, honestly. I can give her a handful, a whole bunch, and I'll give them to her, and she'll say, I want more. And I have discovered, when it comes to this kind of stuff, I have a lot of M&Ms, okay? It does not matter how many I give her. If I gave her this cup right here, as soon as I said, here you go, I'm not going to give her that many, but if I gave her that many, she would say, I want more. In fact, the other day I gave her a full bowl of something, and she said, I want more. And I said, why? That's a lot. And she goes, I want more. That's the only reason. I just want more. Do you want some more? Okay. Some of you are wondering if you can have this after the service. I don't know. I think we want more. In fact, the reason I brought this up is I like to see something visually that is kind of something that's hard to understand sometimes. But I think that a lot of us, now I'm not going to talk about M&Ms anymore. I'm going to talk about our life. A lot of our lives look like this in some area. And where we feel or we have less, where we're supposed to have more. Maybe it's something like the joy of God, or just a happiness in your heart, and you feel like there's just a little bit. I mean, it's not that there's none. It's not that I'm never happy, but there's not much, and we're meant for more. Maybe it's peace, and you're just stressed out and all that all the time, and He has more. If we're living like this, we're supposed to have more. I see this so much. So many people, they have about no purpose. I mean, yeah, I might make my job, make my money for my family, or I do this thing, but they feel like there's very little that they have purpose for. It's very little, and we're meant for more. We need to have faith for more. In fact, I have 3 words of encouragement for you today. And here they are. It's very simple. That there is more. Will you just say that with me? There is more. Now say it one more time like you mean it. There is more. There is more. And I want this to start to settle into your heart that there is more. In fact, I'm going to say it a whole bunch of times. There is more. Hoping that I can poke through in a little bit and help you realize that there is more. See, some of you, maybe you've been struggling with the same problem over and over and you're wondering, this is just where I am. There is more. There is something beyond that problem. Oh, I'm just always going to feel this, have this addiction, have this problem. There is more self-control that God has for you. Oh, you know, my family, we just kind of fight. That's what we do. It's just the way it's going to be. There is more. There is a greater that He has for you. There is forgiveness. There is wholeness. There is more love He has for you. There is more joy. There's more peace. Patience, kindness, let's do all the fruit of the Spirit, right? Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There is more of all of that that is available for you than what many of us are living in. There is more. There is more. And I think we've settled for less. Jesus said it like this in John 10:10. He said, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. So which one of these looks like what Jesus talked about? This one, right? He did not, this is not the life that he came for. He came for full. He came that we may have life and have it to the full. Are you empty? See, he said, he at another place, he said, your joy will be full. Are you full of joy? He has fullness for you if you don't, if you're not. Are you full of his peace? He has fullness for you. Is your purpose, your relationships, does stuff feel empty? He wants it to be full. In fact, there's a paraphrase of this verse. It's not a translation, but it's a paraphrase from a paraphrase Bible, and it says this: I came so that they can have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of. He came so that you can have a more and better life than you've dreamed of. It's good. It's meant to be good. There is more. I want you to begin to maybe believe, not maybe, I want you to begin to believe for more in your life, more from God. Maybe what you need is more income. Maybe what you need is more forgiveness. Maybe what you, I don't know what you need more of, but there is more that he has for you. How much more? Good question. Now to him that is able to do immeasurably more, okay, more than you can ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory. He wants to do a lot more, immeasurably more. In fact, I was thinking about this. I didn't do this in the first service. David, young David, King David, the guy that killed the giant, he talked about the blessings of God, right? And when he talked about the more, he said, my cup is full. No. He said, my cup, what did he say? Runs over. There you go. I like to make messes when I preach in here. So he said, my cup runs over. I'm going to move these over so I don't step on them. Okay, he said, my cup runs over. Why? Well, look at this. You need to be so full that it starts to pour out on everybody else around you. The purposes and the goodness of God in your life, the things that he's brought in your life is just, it pours out. It makes a mess. Okay, and there, more. Are you believing for more? Maybe we've just settled in for a little bit less. In fact, that's my concern, is that a lot of times I think we've gotten to a place where we've just decided, this is life now. This is what life is. This is what my relationships are going to be like. Shallow. This is what, you know, my relationship with God is. It's there. I hope I'll go to heaven when I die. This is what my finances are going to be like. You know, we make it, kind of. This is what, you see what I'm saying? We settle and we say, this is it. This is the life that I have, I guess. You're meant for more. There is more. In fact, what inspired this message the first time in me, and we did a series on this in the youth, but was I was reading this book, and I was reading it fast, well, as fast as I can. I read slow. Even slow readers, y'all know what that's like. See, me and my wife, we'll read something together, like we read an article, and she'll finish. Like, it's one page. She'll finish and go get a snack, and I'm like, I'm halfway. Hold on. I'm trying. But anyways, I'm reading this book as fast as I can and going through, and this because I made this commitment, I was going to read at least 25 books from front to back this year. It was just a goal for me. For some of you, like, that's not very many. For me, that was a lot because I don't ever finish books. And so I'm just plowing through, and then I read this sentence in this book, and I got stuck, okay? And by the way, sometimes when you're reading the Bible, you know, you're doing your daily reading, you're reading through a chapter, reading through whatever, something will jump out at you, right? It's like, tell you what, this is probably the Holy Spirit trying to talk to you, so take it and say, okay, even if I don't finish my reading plan for today, put that aside and go, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me? What was that? Why did that pop off the page to me? So I'm reading this book as fast as I can go and wouldn't really get anything. And then this sentence, this question actually, spoke to me. I know it was the Holy Spirit talking to me. And the question was, how often do you believe for the impossible? And I read that and I thought, not very often. Almost never. And the reason that kind of struck me was when you read about the disciples, you read about early Christians, they had the impossible happen all the time. They needed the impossible. They believed for the impossible all the time. In fact, I began to realize I see it happen all the time. I have close friends who were healed of something that they were supposed to have their entire life. It was impossible. I have close friends who I've seen financial situations completely turn. I've seen marriages in our church get restored that looked like they were impossible. I've seen impossible happen, but I was like, I'm not really believing. I'm believing for a lot of possible things. I'm believing, you know, that, you know, we'll have some more growth in our youth group, and my kids will grow up and be healthy, and, you know, all these things I'm believing. And those are good to believe for, but I wasn't believing for anything big. I wasn't really believing for much more, nothing impossible, unless someone I knew got sick, and then I would believe for healing. But I mean, I wasn't really believing for impossible. And what I hope for us, and I want for you, is to begin to believe for something impossible. In fact, see, some of us, you're living here just because you've gotten comfortable, right? It's just like, I'm used to this now. This is my life. In fact, I believe when I was studying, and I don't know who it's for, but there's somebody, maybe someone's, who has been a Christian for a really, really long time, probably longer than I've been alive, okay? You've been a Christian for decades, and you're comfortable in your faith, but God wants you to know there is more that he has for you. Maybe you've done ministry before, but he's like, I'm not done with you. Do it. Get involved. Do something. There is more. So there is more for you. Maybe you've just been comfortable, but for so many, I think that we get in a place and we go, it's impossible. That's just an impossible situation. It's impossible that that will get better. It's impossible for me to overcome that. It's impossible for me to feel joy again. It's impossible for me to have whatever. And we start to believe that something is impossible. Would you start believing for something impossible? Because there is more that he wants to do. If we will believe for it, if we will have faith for more, he can do impossible in your life. I want to see more for you. I'll say it one more time. There is more. There is more. Maybe you need to say that to yourself until you believe it. There is more. When you look at something that's empty, there is more. So I want to help us learn how to have faith for more, how to live in that impossible. So we're going to read a story. It's in 2 Kings chapter 4, if you like to turn there. We're going to read the whole story. And it's a really amazing story. We've got Elisha, who's not Elijah, it's Elisha, the man of God, okay, powerful man of God, did really amazing things. And he meets a lady, and we're going to read the story, because this woman was in an impossible situation. There was no way out. And we're going to read her story. It's in 2 Kings chapter 4. We're going to start in verse 1. The wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he revered the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves." So I'm going to help you understand. So her husband has died, right? And he apparently had some debt. And back then, if you couldn't pay your debt, they didn't just, foreclose on your house or you file for bankruptcy or something like that. They took you as slaves. And in this case, they're going to take her sons. So she's already lost her husband, and she's about to lose her sons. Apparently, the creditor is on the way, and she's going to lose them. And they'll have to be slaves until they've worked off however much debt their father had taken. Elisha replied to her, "How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house? Your servant has nothing there at all except a little oil. Some of you believe you have nothing at all to offer. There's nothing I can do for God. There's nothing that I can do to work on this. There's nothing. There's something. He can work with what you have. He's given you what you need." He keeps going. Elisha said, "Go around. Ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few." I like that. Don't ask for a few. A lot. More. Okay? "Then go inside. Shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars. And as each is filled, put it to one side." She left him and afterwards shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another one." He replied, "There is not a jar left." Then the oil stopped flowing. So she went and told the man of God, and he said, "Go sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what is left." Now, this was an amazing thing. Her situation was impossible. She was about to lose everything that was left in her life, and she needed God to do more. She needed God to do something impossible, and he did, and he can in our lives. So I want to give us three things to see more. I want to talk about three things to have faith for more, or three things to see more in your life. Okay? These are three things that if you will begin to apply, they're good things to write down if you're taking notes. They're even better things to apply to your life. So we're going to find three things to experience the more of God. Hope for more. It begins with hope. I just imagine this lady, she's hopeless. There's no hope. The creditor's coming. She has no way to financially make the money. And then she sees Elisha, and hope came up. Maybe he can do something. Maybe he can do something. And she goes to him. She has some hope come up. And all through Scripture, you're going to see people who have hope. I was reading this week about blind Bart. You'll know Bart from the Bible, Bartimaeus. I like to call him Bart, okay? Blind Bartimaeus. He was blind. He is hopeless. There's no doctor that could cure it. There's nothing he could do. He's hopeless. And then he hears. It says he hears Jesus is passing by, and hope happened. He was hopeless until he heard that Jesus was there. And then he began to yell, "Jesus, help me." But he was hopeless until that moment. And I want you to know, Jesus is walking by. Jesus is here. And he will listen to you. You can call out to him. You need to get hope from him. This is how hope happens, okay? You see where you are, and you see where you could be in Christ. And you realize that he can get you there. When you see where I am, maybe you see this is what something in my life looks like, and I know he can, and he said I should have that or can have that, and hope can begin to rise. See, some of you need to look and see what could be and dream about what could be, get vision about what God can do, and let hope begin to happen in your heart. Let hope begin to rise up. You see, hope and faith, they go right together. This is how they go together. Listen, this is the definition of faith in the Bible. Now, this is Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. See, if the enemy can keep you from hoping, he can keep you from more, because he's going to shut down your faith. If he can keep you from hoping, he can keep you from more. But if you'll begin to hope, and you're like, "Oh, I don't want to get my hopes up." Get your hopes up. Get them up in the right place. Get them up in God and what he has for you. But begin to get hope. In fact, I would like for you to start reading this as your hope document. See, I think sometimes we read stuff and we get condemned. You need to start seeing it as hope. See, we read it like this. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Okay, you're going to get rid of my... How about this? I can get over my anger. I can go to bed not angry tonight. God can get me over it. Oh, I need hope for that. If you're struggling with anger, God can get me through that. No temptation has seized you but what is common to man. And when you are tempted, he'll provide a way out for it. I can get over this temptation. It doesn't have to keep beating me. Oh, it's hope. You can see that there's more. I don't have to keep struggling with the same thing. I struggled with stress for many, many years growing up, especially in college. I let everything stress me out, everything. Little things, big things, it doesn't matter. Everything just stressed me out. And I started to read about peace in the Bible, and I saw where Jesus said that he left his peace with us. And then it says that there's in Philippians chapter 4, that there's a peace that goes beyond understanding. And I began to read that. You know what it gave me? Hope. Hope that even though a stressful situation was there, I didn't have to live in stress. Got hope. You need to get some hope. Find hope in his word. Find hope when you hear God's word. You hear somebody teaching. Find hope. You need hope. Without it, we're not going to live in more. So start to hope for more. Start to believe for more. Start to have hope. Here's the next thing. Ask for more. Ask. So I told you, a 3-year-old daughter, and when she wants something, she has this little habit of, so we're sitting in the kitchen, and all of a sudden, she just sits on the floor and starts crying, whining, you know, the whiny cry, not like I'm hurt cry. Those are different. Parents, y'all know. So she's just whining, not saying any words, just whining, like, "What do you want?" All this, I don't imitate her well, but making all of these whine noises, I start saying, "Use your words, okay? I don't understand. Talk to me." And finally she's like, "I want some milk." I'm like, "You can have, why didn't you just ask me? Why did you whine and cry?" We got a lot of Christians whining and crying. "Oh, the economy, you know, and the jobs, and no high pay. Oh, you know, the way my family, oh, whine, whine, whine." Do you know whining and praying are not the same thing? Whining and asking are not the same thing? Stop whining and start asking. Jesus' brother, James, had something to say about it. He says, "You don't have because you don't ask God." You're whining, but you're not asking. You have because you do not ask. We need to ask. Maybe you're not asking because you've given up hope, and you need to go back to that first point and start getting some hope. And when you get hope for something, you need to start asking. I think maybe there's another reason we don't ask, because maybe it's the rest of this verse. He says, "When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you have on your own pleasures." And I think maybe we read that, and we start to worry. It's like, well, is it okay for me to ask for this? Is this the wrong motives, or is this the right motives? Maybe I better not ask. Okay, so let me help you understand when to ask. And I'm going to go to 1 John. It's one of my favorite passages on prayer and teaching us when to ask and how to ask. It's in 1 John chapter 5. It says, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God." So you're going to go to him in prayer. You're going to ask him for that thing you're hoping for. Here's our confidence: that if we ask anything according to his will, when we ask according to his will, if it is his will, you can ask. It is his will for you to have peace, by the way. It is His will for you to have joy. It is His will for you to overcome. It is His will for you to be free. It is His will. So you need to start learning what His will is, okay? That's a good thing to start working on. But when you know His will, you can ask. And it says He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of Him. So we need to ask. Now, you're like, well, what if I asked something and it was not His will? I got good news. He's just going to say no. And He's not going to do it. In fact, I've had that happen. I've been in the middle of praying for something, and I felt like He said, no. And you know what that gave me? I was, I don't know if I heard words, but I was like, oh, okay. I'm going to hope for something else. Like, and then I knew, okay, it's time to move on for that. He said no. So what are you going to say yes to? And I started to find something else to ask for and find hope for. So don't be afraid to ask. If He says no, it's for your good. And so ask. Ask. If you've got hope, you see there's something, you need to ask. So let's ask. Here's the last one. Do for more. It's not the greatest grammatically, but I wanted to keep the four mores going, okay? Because we're hoping for more, we're asking for more, and now we got to do. Here's what I mean. Faith requires action. Faith requires works. If you just have faith, if there's no action to your faith, James said that's dead. It's dead faith. It's not doing anything. It's not going anywhere. There is going to be a do. If you want to see more in your life, you're going to have to work. God's going to have you work. He's going to have you do things. He's going to ask you to do something. And it depends on what your situation is, what that might be. Sometimes the only do is to pray. Sometimes He's going to tell you a specific thing He wants you to do. But there's going to be something He wants you to do. He's going to have you act. In fact, here's what I like to think about it. I'm going to do what I can, and God's going to do what I can't. I'm going to do what I can in this situation. I'm going to work on it the best I can, but He's going to do what I'm not capable of. Or since we're talking about possible and impossible, I do what's possible and God does what's impossible. I'm going to do what's possible in this situation, in my life, in my family, and whatever. I'm going to do what's possible. He's going to do what's impossible. So let's think about the lady that we read about earlier. She had to do what was possible. She had to go get some jars, right? And that doesn't seem like much. In fact, there's a great verse. It's the last verse. I know I've shown a lot of scripture, but this is the one I want you to remember, okay? If you forget all the other ones, remember this one, okay? That this is how we live this out, okay? This is what she did, and we're going to talk about how she did it, but this is what she did. It says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We do, we act, we live by faith, not by sight. And I want to make sure that you will remember this verse. We walk by what? Not by? We walk by? Not by? Good, let's make sure you got it. Ready? Do it with me. For we walk not by sight. That's right. That's right. For we walk by faith. That's an easy verse. See, you just memorize scripture. You can do it. For we walk by faith, not by sight. And that's exactly what that lady did. She began to walk by faith. It does not make sense when you're on your last day with your sons to go around and start gathering up empty jars. She just had to do it by faith. That's what God told her to do. The man of God told her to do. So she started getting those jars and just bringing them home. She spent, I don't know how long it took to go to all of her neighbors and do all of that and to carry those heavy jars back to her place. She just did it by faith. She did what she could do, and then the impossible happened. And you need to do what you can do and then believe for the impossible. So let me illustrate it by picking on teenagers. Hi. I like teenagers. I'll tell you what, being a youth pastor is fun because you can just say stuff to them and they go, yeah, that's probably right. They don't get mad. They don't get offended. In fact, if I say what I'm about to say to y'all, y'all get offended. So I'm just going to talk to them, okay? And so so here's an example of this. So school is going to start. Sorry, I don't mean to bring that up. But in about 3 or 4 weeks here, school's going to start. And after about 2 weeks of school, this is what somebody's going to say. I'm going to hear, you know, it's impossible for me to make a good grade in that class. I just can't do it. It's impossible. That teacher doesn't know what they're doing. Okay, it's math. Math is impossible for me, or English is impossible. I can't do it. It's impossible. Well, here we go. First, you need to get some hope. Maybe you are terrible at math. I get that, okay? I was terrible at English, okay? And maybe you are terrible, but you need to believe that there's more that you can do something. So start getting hope. I'm gonna nail this class. I'm gonna get good grades in this class. And here's the next thing. Ask for help. There were classes that I prayed for every single day because I was having so much trouble. Ask for help. Here's the next one. Do. You're going to have to work. Here you go. Let me tell you what that looks like. Sit on the front row and take good notes every single day. You're doing what you can do. I'm going to sit on that front row thing, and I'm going to do every homework. I'm going to never turn in assignment. The Bible says to do everything you do as you're doing it for the Lord. Did you know that? Colossians, he says that. So, would you turn in an assignment with half of it done to Jesus? Right? You're going to do it all because you're doing that assignment for Jesus. So you're going to do every single thing on that page and turn it in. And if there's something I don't understand, I'm going to go before school, during lunch, or after school. If I have to skip lunch, I don't care. I'm going to figure it out until I got it to get extra help from the teacher. Now, you do all those things, and I bet your grades go up. But you're thinking, I thought you were talking about God doing impossible, not me working hard, right? Isn't that okay? So here's why I'm talking to them and not y'all. Because if the reason that you're living a lesser life is because you're lazy, that's the lesser life, the lesser loser life, okay? The lazy, lesser loser life because, you know, you're lazy. Don't, that should not be the reason you don't have more. If the reason you don't have more is because you're just sitting back, why does this happen to you? No, you need to get going, get working, get doing stuff. But there are times when that's not enough, isn't it? There are times when you can do everything possible and that's not enough, and that's when you believe for him to do the impossible. You do what he's told you to do. You work and do what he's told you to do, and he will do what's impossible. I've seen it happen, since we're talking about grades, I've seen that happen, that very same thing happened in my life, in college. Okay, now I was an all-A student in high school, never did that, and I went to college, I was doing great, and I took this class, and I failed the first test, and I failed the second test. And then I failed the third test. And I am studying, I am working, I went to the professor to get extra help. I did everything I just told you guys. Failed the next test. I failed every test, and now it was time for the final exam. Now, I mean, they weren't like 30s, they were like, you know, 50s and 60s. So I had to make an 85 to pass, because I was good at math, so I figured all that out, you know, I was like, I gotta make an 85. So when I took the final exam, and there was one question worth 30 points. If you miss that, you're done, right? And so I went and I said, hey, what was the answer to this question? And he told me, and it was not what I had written down. And so I went outside, and I cried. That's what I did. I sat down on the table and cried, because I was a senior. I was like, what even happens if you fail a class that's required your senior year? Do you become like a double senior next year? I don't even know how this works. And I was like, this never happened to me. And so I'm just in there, and I did kind of what I talked about in reverse. I did these things right here in reverse. I started asking God until I had hope. I just sat there at a table and I just prayed and prayed until I had hope. And finally, I went back to that class and he gave me my test and I looked at it and he wrote 87. To this day, I have no idea because he liked failing people. I don't know. I don't know why. In fact, I never showed it to him. I was like, maybe he made a mistake. I don't know. I don't know what happened here, but the God did it. Impossible. It was impossible. But you know what? That doesn't be, I did. You know, I'm not giving me credit, it was God, but you know what, you got to have hope, and you got to ask, and you do what you can do, and then you let God do the rest, and you trust him, and you will see more begin to happen in your life. So here's what I want to ask you. What have you believed is impossible in your life? What have you believed is impossible? You've just decided, this is now my lot in life. This is the way I live. This is where I'm at. What have you believed is impossible? It's time for you to believe for more. Maybe you've believed it's impossible for you to overcome something, for your family to be back together, for I don't know. What have you believed is impossible? Believe for more. There is more. I love the stories in my life when I can look and I can say, where I saw and I really thought that something could never happen. There were times when I said, I will never, or this will never. One of the things I said never, by the way, was I will never be a pastor. And well, okay, I think he laughs at me over that one, you know. Yeah. Anyways, but there was another time I said never, and let me just share it with you. So I graduated college, and I had a degree in music education. I became a band director, and that's what I went to college for. And after I graduated, all my friends got a job, all of them except me. Like, every single one of my friends that I talked to had a job. And so I was like, what is wrong with me? I remember I was emailing my professors, why can't I get a job? I can't even get interviews. And they're like, just, it'll happen. Well, finally I get a phone call from one of my professors and he says, are you willing to move to Houston? And I said, no, I want to stay in this area because I have family and everything here. And he goes, well, let me tell you a little bit more about it. And before I tell you what he said, I got to back up a little bit. See, because earlier that year, I went to a music educators conference. And the 5A honor band, now if you're not a band nerd like me, you don't know what this means, but they were the best high school band in the state of Texas, performed. So they had won the honors for that year, and me and my friend, we went to watch, and I had never seen anything like it. I mean, I grew up in band and doing all that. They performed better than the college band that performed right before them. And I said, how? I was like, how? How could a school do that? And I turned to my roommate who went with me from college, and I said, I could never work somewhere like that. I don't even know how you do that. Like, how did they sound like that? I could never work there or anywhere like that. So my professor calls me. I'm looking for a job. He goes, are you willing to move to Houston? And I said, no. He goes, well, let me tell you real quick. The school is Langham Creek. Langham Creek was the school that I had sat there in that conference and watched and said, I could never work at a school like that. And I think God heard that and said, oh, really? Because what are the odds that the one school I have watched in that whole conference was the school that I said impossible and the school that I ended up getting my band directing job at? And what a ride that was. Okay, we got to go to Carnegie Hall in New York and do all kinds of amazing. I got 1 year as a band director and I just went all out. Okay, it was really quite a year. And so he did something, it was impossible. I didn't think that was possible. What have you said, never? What have you said, impossible? What have you said, this is where it is? Will you believe? Will you hope? Will you ask? Will you do what God tells you to do? And let's begin to see more. There is more. In just a minute, there's going to be people down here to pray so that we can ask. And tell you the only thing better than asking is asking with somebody else, to put faith together with somebody else. So if there's something in you that feels empty, if there's something in you where you say, is there really more? Can I have more? Should there be more? Let somebody pray with you, believe with you, give you hope. Ask God to move in that situation. Believe for more. Would you just for a moment, can we just close our eyes and bow our heads? Now, I like to do this sometimes just so we can look into our own heart. Some of you right now need to say to yourself, there is more, because you're not believing it. Just tell yourself, there is more. And if you're empty in some area, let's believe that God's going to begin to fill you up. I'm going to pray for us. When I say amen, we're going to stand. And if you want prayer, our prayer partners will be coming forward at that time. Just step out and let somebody pray with you. If in your heart right now you're thinking, maybe there is more, let somebody pray with you. Father, I thank you that you love us. I thank you for the more that we can have in you. Pray for those that have looked at some situation as impossible, that right now you would put hope in their heart. They'd realize you're in the room and they can call out to you. I believe that we will see more and more happen. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.